because normally we live in Thailand, right on the border with Myanmar. And I just want to tell you a story about somebody that we know there. Her name is Auntie Sang. Can you say Auntie Sang? Auntie Sang. And Auntie Sang, do you guys like to eat pizza? Who likes pizza? Anybody? Or tacos? Who likes tacos? Yeah. Well, Auntie Sang doesn't make pizza or tacos, but she's Shan. She speaks a language called Shan. And she makes Shan pizza and Shan tacos. And so I'll show you a picture of her little restaurant. It's, just a little simple restaurant. Just built, just benches with a tin roof. And she has a wood fire with boiling water. And then she mixes like the rice flour in here and puts it on the boiling water with an egg and some vegetables. And it's really yummy. And we call it Shan pizza. Or she'll just make like peel this off and then we fill it with vegetables and call that Shan tacos. So this day, we took a group of friends there that were visiting from Canada. And we took them there to eat Shan food. And you can see it's all lots of different yummy sauces and kind of spicy. And let's see. There she is. She's cooking for all of us. And we've known Auntie Sang for a long time. We've been eating at her restaurant for about 9 years. So we're... So this day, we hadn't seen her for a little while. We went and saw her. She wasn't looking well. She was really, really skinny. And her face looked kind of gray. And she wasn't smiling like she normally smiles. And when I said, how are you doing? And she said, I'm not doing well. I don't feel good. I feel really sick. And I have a lot of pain in my back. And so I thought, oh, I would like to pray for her. But I don't know if she'll want me to pray for her because... when her mom was sick and I visited her and her mom in their house, she didn't let me pray for her mom because she said the local kind of witch doctor kind of guy, he wouldn't like that. He wouldn't like us to pray to Jesus, and her mom died. And so I was thinking the whole time we were eating lunch, should I pray for her? Should I not pray for her? I know God wants me to pray for her. So before we left, I said, Auntie Sang, can we pray for you that Jesus would heal your back and heal your pain? And she said, yes. And so everybody who was there, all of our friends, we all prayed for her, and I put my hand on her back, and I was praying. And, you know, she'd never prayed to Jesus before. It was the first time. And it was lots of fun because she was praying too. I was praying. She was praying. She copied what I said. And then before I even finished praying, she said, oh, I feel so hot. I'm just burning up. And I said, is that a good or bad kind of heat? She said, no, it's really good. She said, I don't feel any more pain. And she said, Jesus healed me. And she was so happy and excited. So we went back about 2 weeks later again and had lunch at her shop. And she said she was all better. She went to see the doctor, and the doctor said she didn't need to take any more medicine. And she was gaining weight, and she felt happy. And then after that, God really started healing her heart too, not just her body, but her heart. And she started to tell us lots of really sad things about her life, a lot of pain she had when she was about 13 years old. Her mom and dad sold her for about $2,000. She had to go live in another country, and she felt so alone. And she was the youngest of 10 children, and all the other children got to go to school, but her mom never let her go to school because she had to take care of the water buffalo every day. And when she got sick, her mom would never send her to the doctor. And then when she had to go work and send money home to the family. And then when she grew up and she needed her family to help her, they didn't help her. She felt like nobody loved her. So she was so happy to hear that Jesus loved her. So if you guys have a little gift for you from Thailand, these are little keychains. You can choose one and just rip it off. So when you see your little keychain, or maybe if God reminds you, maybe you can pray for Auntie Sang. And pray that she'll really follow Jesus with her whole heart. Because right now she thinks, oh, following Jesus. She prays to Jesus every day and thanks him. But she still goes to the temple and prays to the Buddha too. So maybe you guys can pray that she'll really understand God's love for her. And not just Auntie Sang, but there's lots and lots and lots of Shan people and Burmese people and Thai people and Korean people and Lahu and Akka that don't know about God's love for them. So you can pray for them. And one more thing, maybe this week when you guys are around other people, maybe it's people that don't know Jesus, maybe you can pray for them and pray that they'll know God's love. Do you guys like to do that? Because God wants everybody to know that he loves them like a good, good daddy. So would any of you guys like to pray for Auntie Sang now? Maybe just pray that she'll really love, know God's love for her and follow him. Would you like to do that? Then I can go back and tell her, you know what? There's some kids in Canada that pray for you too. Would you like to do that? God bless you guys.
It's a great joy to connect and have the Lemkes here. And we're just going to have a prayer blessing upon you.
Yeah, thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, as we come, we are so grateful, Father, that you are here with us. And that, Father, your word is going to come to us, Lord, this morning.
Good morning. It's really good to be here again. It hasn't been that long this time. It's only been a year. And I think before that, we used to come back every couple of years. So probably maybe I'll just introduce a little bit who I am and my family. I'm Rob, and I'm originally from Australia, but I've been a Canadian citizen since 2007, roughly. So we live in Southeast Asia, and if you can think of a triangle, we live at the top of the triangle in a country called Thailand. And around us is other countries. So just to the north of us is Myanmar, and then southern China, and then Laos. And where we live, there's about 130 different languages. And we don't speak that 130 languages, but we speak one of them, and we speak Thai, and we're in the process of learning Burmese, because anyone who lives in Southeast Asia speaks more than one language, at least four or five. We've been there for 10 years living, but we've been kind of serving in that part of the world for the past 21 years. And we've been serving with a group called Youth with a Mission, and we're part of Youth with a Mission Thailand and Youth with a Mission Myanmar. So last year, what we've been doing for the last 10 years has been partnering with the local church and working actually with another Baptist churches like you guys. And so I can send my greetings from the Shan Baptist Church of Eastern Myanmar to you guys. And we've been working with them and helping training lay people in the church and working with the next generation of leaders. And we've been mainly doing that through discipleship and through Bible study. Many of our people we work with, they grow up in a Christian tradition that's quite rich, but they don't understand why and what. And many don't even understand the scriptures. So the scriptures are a very powerful thing. And it's a thing that caused us to live in the effects of the Reformation that happened in Europe many, many years ago. And we're still experiencing that now. And so we want to see transformation happen in amongst the unreached and in the church in Eastern Myanmar and in Myanmar as a whole and in Southeast Asia. And so we think there's no better way than for people to understand the gospel and to have a life-changing, transforming encounter with God and to understand his word, which builds a framework of how do we live and values and things that we've benefited in this nation for a long time and which sadly we see changing very quickly, almost in a generation. So last year when we were back on a sabbatical for a year because we've been in Asia for so long. And so we've decided to try and come back every year now, if we can, around this time of year for our kids, so they can kind of connect with Canberra a little bit more. We've been living there for a long time, and we just feel like that Sam is probably going to be in university in the next 4 or 5 years, and he really needs to know where he's from. Even though he loves Asia and the kids love being there, they're never going to be from there. They'll never have a Thai passport. They'll never have a Burmese always be Canadians. So some of the challenges in going back for us in the last little while is just before we left, we had trained up a group of 16 leaders, and we sent them back into the church to work for the church. This is a great thing. But one of the challenges in going back is our team was a little smaller. So we're gone from a team of 16 to a team of about 6. Some of the challenges we face is moving to Myanmar. We live in Thailand, and for the first time, I have a friend who's been trying to live in the part of the country where we work for 5 years, and he just got permission 6 months ago. So we feel hopeful that we're going to be able to move into Myanmar the next year. And we kind of feel like that we're starting in chapter 2 of what we've already done. We've been working for 10 years, and that was chapter 1. And we're starting at chapter 2, which is building on what we've been doing. And so some things that have been happening in the last little bit is the people that we worked with for the last 10 years, we decided to, in the last year, gather them together and kind of see what they're doing and hear the stories of what they're doing. And it was super encouraging to gather the 40 people we've been working with for the last 10 years and just kind of hear what they're doing. And some of them are working in denominational leadership, some of them are working in as pastors in churches, some of them are working as youth leaders, some of them are working in Sunday school. I mean, they're working all over Eastern Shan State, where we live, where we work in Myanmar, and so the next generation of leaders in the church are going to be people that we've been working with and walking alongside for the last number of years. One of the main things we've been doing, other than working with our alumni, is we were asked by the Shan Baptist churches to write Bible study material. In Myanmar, there is no Bible study material book by book for the whole Bible. I mean, you can probably name a number of things in Canada or North America or English. You can get resources. So for the past 5 years, we've been working on writing Bible, simple Bible study material, book by book, every book of the Bible, in English and then in Burmese. And so the exciting thing for us is that we have almost finished the whole New Testament in English, and we just finished completing the New Testament in Burmese, and hopefully by Christmas we'll have our first books as a free resource kind of out in the Burmese church. And when that happens in the church in Myanmar, it's the first Bible study material ever for the book by book for the whole nation. And so we're kind of excited about that. I never thought I'd be involved in publication. I don't like sitting behind a computer and doing editing and stuff, but it's a worthy thing and something that God's called us to do. And we feel like that the scriptures had power to transform society. And so we feel like that this is an investment in the future of Myanmar. You know, Adonai Judson, 200 years ago, the first missionary to Myanmar, he translated the Bible, and the effects of that has been the birth of the church. And so we feel like in the same vein, our team, I often tell them, you know, you guys are investing in the next 200, 300, how much ever time we have before Jesus comes back, years of the church and development of the church. So that's a little bit about what we've been doing and what we do. Liz told you a little bit of a story about Basang. But what I wanted to do this morning was talk a little bit about faith. And, I forgot the video. Yeah. Here's a short video about what we do. Now, this video, just before we play it, I'm part of a Baptist church in Australia. So my church from Australia that I grew up in as a kid came out, and they did a little bit of filming for their Missions Month. And so this is a little bit of an overview about what we've been doing in the last 10 years, and probably give you a little bit of a picture about what we do. The church is called Gateway Baptist Church. So if you hear Gateway, said go into all the world, I believe the mission of the local church is to just do that. And so for me, that was a very natural part of my journey. You know, I started off with people and my community locally, and then for me it was actually to change from one community to another community, which is actually here in Asia, in Myanmar. And I was just confronted with the whole, not just the unreached issue, but the social injustice issue and the political issue and the suffering.
The greatest thing that we saw in Myanmar was for people to know about Jesus, because so many people have never even heard the name of Jesus or been given that opportunity. whole scriptures with them at the invitation of a local church and other leadership, because we believe nobody's beyond reach. We've seen leaders like Daniel, who's from a minority ethnic group, really rise up and become a leader. He's translated the New Testament. He started a Bible school for his ethnic group. He's graduated his first group of students and sent them out now to be missionaries in the surrounding nations. We've seen people like Yi Tan Sen, who was very shy, young woman, become the children's pastor for her church, and her heart is really to train up the next generation. I feel like there's been lots of challenges, but I also really hold on to the hope of the promises that Jesus gave us, that his kingdom, it's like a little piece of yeast that you knead into this dough, and it, over time it has this multiplying and growth effect. And so that's what I'm holding on to, is that God's promises and God's work is not in vain. It's not about really us even, it's the growth of his kingdom.
So Gateway's always been a community and a church that goes beyond. It's in our DNA, it's who we are. And I love growing up in that, and I loved and have appreciated how they've reached out locally and globally. And I just want to continue to see Gateway as our community going beyond.
In Jesus' last words, he said, go into all nations. And so the question is, if we're following Jesus, where is he calling you to go? Maybe he's calling you to go to the person at the next desk beside you at work, or go across the street and just talk to your neighbor, or go into another community and be willing to start something new. But all of us, as we follow Jesus, he's going to call us to go somewhere.
Yes, yeah, so some of the pictures there of our alumni and people we've worked with, and we kind of really feel like that the next chapter for us as we go back and continue to go back is to walk alongside those 40. You know, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Paul says to the Corinthian church, you have a lot of guides and a lot of teachers and a lot of, but you don't have many fathers. And I've been a father to you. And we really feel like that the next chapter for us is to father, I'm not their father, but to walk alongside them, to coach them, to encourage them, to see them fulfill everything that God has for them in this next season. So, yeah, that's a little bit of a picture of our existence in Asia. So yeah, this morning I have the privilege of just sharing a little bit with you, and I've called, I'm going to talk about faith from Hebrews chapter 11. And I've kind of titled it Thoughts About Faith. Some thoughts that I have about faith. So the book of Hebrews is written to a Jewish audience. Some of you might have read it, some of you haven't. The author's not really identified. Hebrews is written to a group of Jewish believers who had left Judaism to follow Jesus, Messiah. But now because of the persecution they face, and you're going to see this if you read the book of Hebrews, that the audience is facing persecution. They're under extreme pressure. Extreme pressure to leave what they've begun to follow and go back. And so this is kind of a test. If they return to Judaism in Hebrews, the original reader in Hebrews, if they turn to Judaism, they have protection under Roman law. And they won't suffer. But if they follow Jesus like the Gentiles had been doing, and they follow Jesus Messiah, then they're exposed to the dangers of suffering and persecution that anyone else would face. And they become enemies of the state many times. And it seems like that this book is written into a time of persecution, probably before the temple sometime. It's not really clear. Before the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And so, in Hebrews chapter 11, the author has laid out an argument. And as you read the whole book, he lays out this argument, how Jesus is superior. That Jesus is superior to the old covenant, that Jesus is superior to the promises, to angels, to prophets, to the priesthood, that Aaron's priesthood. And he's encouraging them to stay with Jesus and not return to Judaism. And he repeatedly warns them throughout this book not to fall away, that the future of their future hope is going to be found in following Jesus. But Judaism is a sinking ship. And so before we get into this, I'm going to... Is everyone actually, maybe we can do this Asian style, where we can maybe turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we can read it together as a congregation. Now, you might have a different translation, I think, in the melody of different translations. This is going to work, hopefully. But maybe we could, if you can stand, we could stand. If you can't, feel free to sit down. But maybe we could just stand and open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 11. And we could read Hebrews chapter 11, 1 to 39. I want to read the whole chapter, because because and it's going to be it's a big chapter, but let's see if we can do that. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gift, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah was warned by God concerning the events as yet unseen. In reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was not looking forward to the city that has its foundation, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and when he had received the promise, was in the act of offering up his only son, whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessing on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the inheritance of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeing pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking for a reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him as who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and they had been encircled, that fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to flight, Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Please be seated. That's a long, long chapter of faith. And the repeated word there is by faith. It says in the beginning that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen, the assurance, like the deed, the confirmation of things hoped for. It's the certainty, the evidence of things not seen. And it said, for by it, the people of old received their commendation, their divine approval, their approval. So you'll notice with Hebrews chapter 11 that the chapter begins with saying faith either commends us or it doesn't. In the end of the chapter, he says the same thing. 39, they were commended by their faith. And so we see that faith qualifies. In other words, faith is the evidence. It's the genuineness of our life that shines through, that shows whether this is a real thing or really not. From this chapter, you see that faith is tangible. It's a capital T tangible. It's rooted in reality, time, space, like Auntie Sang experiencing Jesus' touch and healing her. It actually happened. It's not just out there floating somewhere, an idea that, you know, a story, a good story. It's historical. Faith is our assurance, it's our substance, it's our realization, our confirmation. Faith involves hope. It involves the future, not just now, not just past hope for people, but future hope for us. And Hebrews 1-39 retells the story of faith in the history of God's people. And it went over Abel, Enoch, Noah, and there's such a big list of people, it's a little overwhelming. There's different things said about them, how they displayed faith. And the author goes on to say, what more can I say, for it would fail me to tell you, ... who through faith did some amazing things, walked through the Red Sea, seen the dead raised, conquered kingdoms. But some were tortured, some were sawn in two. So why did the author of Hebrews include all these stories of faith in this book for the original reader? And when you read this, what does it do to you? When I read this chapter of faith, often it's referred to as the heroes of faith. It's a passage about heroes. This book was not written to just honor them. It does honor them. It honors God. But it's written to inspire us. It's written to inspire you. It's written to inspire me. It was written to encourage normal people who are facing difficult situations, like the original reader, whether they should leave following Jesus or not because of the pressure and the persecution that they're facing. This is not just the story of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. I mean, the big list. It's not just history. It's our story. And we need to see ourselves as part of that story. God's story of faith continues through them. But more importantly, it must continue through us. We must see ourselves as part of the continuation of this story. It doesn't continue through heroes. It continues through people of faith. People like you and people like me. You know, my background is I'm a refrigeration mechanic from Australia. I'm just an average guy. I'm not not someone special. Sometimes we get put into the ministry or missionary category and we're just normal people. And so I think this this continuation of faith, this history of faith, flows through us as the people of God. Any of us who say that we follow Jesus or have faith in Jesus, you would not be here today if someone hadn't had the faith to who live by faith. I mean, our faith is literally built on the shoulders of other people. Our floor is often someone else's. Our ceiling is often someone else's floor. And this is how we live in the kingdom. This is normal Christianity. Real, tangible stories, living stories of faith. And sometimes I think we lose that. Journey of faith is different for everyone. If you looked at that faith journey in Hebrews, it wasn't the same story for everyone. It was a different story for different people. But all important stories, as it kind of continues to build the story of the people of God and the display of who he is to people who don't know him. God's painting a picture, and he's painting a picture with our lives. The reality of faith and beauty, the beauty of our faith, is worked out in our lives, not in someone else's. You know, this story of faith is not worked out in someone else's life, not in my life. It's worked out in your life. It's worked out in each person sitting here's life who has decided to follow Jesus. Faith is your testimony of the continuing work of God in your life. And the lost need to see that. They need to tell, the world needs to see the reality of that. These stories were not written inside a building, but outside the walls of the church, in everyday situations that people find themselves in, like eating Shan pizza or calzone noi at a little shop on the side of the road, and someone just lays hands on someone and prays for them. So simple. And that's how these faith stories are built. Faith is active, and God's kingdom is demonstrated by activated by faith. It takes an activation of our faith. Sometimes we feel so weak, we don't feel like we can do much, and we can't. But what we can do is take that step of faith. Faith activates the supernatural in our lives, in the lives of others. Faith takes God's word as it is and trusts it in our lives. Not dependent on our feelings, emotions, or circumstances. In fact, when you look down at Hebrews 11, 33-35 and 36-38, there's a very different, distinct, there's two different distinct groups of people. Some that were delivered and conquered kingdoms. David. And then there was others who were sawn in two. Persecuted for faith. Both supernatural displays of faith. Faith places us often in circumstances that are way out of our control and much bigger than we can even handle. But it places us in the hands of God, who is faithful and is good, and will do something with our faith for his glory. The reward of our faith is not in vain, despite the difficulties. The faith causes us to live in a different reality and activates the reality of the kingdom in suffering and deliverance. It causes us to live for something greater. Faith causes us to be written into this story. Faith keeps us focused on the main thing. It keeps Jesus as the main thing. Like Peter, if he just had kept his eyes on Jesus, he might have been able to take another few steps in the water. He took his eyes off Jesus and he sank, and Jesus picked him up. That wasn't the end of Peter's story. But faith keeps our eyes on Jesus. Faith causes us to live in a different reality and by different values whether it turns out well or not. Faith proves that we are the people of God, the real deal, despite our circumstances. Faith keeps eternity in focus. Many times in that passage of faith, it talked about the reward, their inheritance, their future reward. It keeps things in focus for us. It keeps us focused on eternity. Our inheritance is not here. It is not here. You may pass some things on to your children, and that is a great thing. But our inheritance of faith is something that's going to last. It's something that's going to live way beyond us. Faith takes control out of our Hebrews, in that chapter of Hebrews, says it's impossible to please God without faith. So faith needs to be demonstrated. It's kind of like James in chapter 2. It's an awkward passage, but he talks about faith and works. And sometimes we think, well, I need to work to earn my faith, but it's the other way around. Saving faith looks like something. Saving faith is much more than just, it's the cup of water to the poor. It's going out of your way. It's the promptings of God in our lives, and we think, yeah, I should need to do that. These are the evidences of faith in our lives. We all have faith in something. It's just, what do you have faith in? And we're all writing a story of faith. Absolutely all of us are writing a story of faith. We're all writing another chapter. We're all writing a chapter in the story of faith. What story are you writing? I don't know if any of the people we just read about ever thought that they would be written down and they would be upheld as symbols of faith. And I wonder in 10, 20 years, when we're gone, when you're gone, what's going to be remembered about you? Is it going to be a story of faith? It's the kind of thing we want to display to our kids. They need to see it. The generation that we're raising up need to see it. They can't just hear about it. They actually need to see it. We don't get to decide what happens to us. That's not our choice. Many of you have gone through suffering, are in difficult situations now, have had difficult situations, had also great situations, things that have been joyful. But we don't get to decide what happens. But we're not victims. None of us are victims. Because we get to decide how we respond in faith and see what the kingdom of what God does in his kingdom through our faith. God can turn crazy, terrible situations into amazing things through great suffering. This idea that faith is a one-time deal when we kind of come to Jesus is an absolute lie. Faith is a journey. It's our story. It's our life. Faith is a tangible evidence of what we're doing as the people of God, or what God's doing in our lives. And from the time we were born again until the time we depart this earth, this is our story of faith. So God's not impressed with some of the things that we're impressed with. I mean, we could list off a whole bunch of things that we get impressed by. And I don't want to do that. But we try to impress ourselves and others. And God's not impressed by the things, but he is impressed by our faith. Our faith seems to move God's heart. Our faith moves heaven. Our faith puts us in a space where things happen that we can experience him in a way that we could not have worked out ourselves. And I guarantee if we started this discussion of faith, even in this room, we could be here for a very, very long time. And I would encourage you, if you haven't thought about your journey and your life story in through the lens of faith, and how you've stepped out in faith and what God has done in the disappointments and in the good, in the amazing things, I would really encourage you to do that. It gives us perspective. Life doesn't make sense. This story of Hebrews that we're talking about, it doesn't make sense if you're not born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Truly I say to you, unless you one is born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." So you can't have faith like in Hebrews without being born again. You can know the Bible. I grew up in the church. I know this stuff. You can be a good person. To church. There's many things you can do. But you can't be part of this journey of faith, this heritage of faith, unless you actually repent and invite God to take control of your life and deliver you from sin and give you a new life and a new heart. Then you can begin this journey of faith. We've been placed in this world to display faith at a time like this. Sometimes we often complain about how bad it is. I mean, I can tell you the bad things in our region. We have about 90% of men on methamphetamine. We have a civil war going on across the border. sometimes the reason it's bad is because we have not displayed our faith. We've just got comfortable just living in a space where God has been so good to us that we haven't been pushed into displaying our faith. That we need to if we're going to see people see God. Wear it like a badge. You know, I've been shocked coming back to Canada and just seeing all the pride stuff, just flags everywhere. Just can't believe it. I mean, I've only been in this nation for 20 years. It's happening in my nation, Australia, too. I'm not comfortable with it. But those flags are everywhere. Now, we need to wear faith like a badge. We need to wear faith like that. We need to display faith. Faith needs to be seen. We need not to be ashamed of it. Paul says the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel in Romans. It's the power of God to salvation. You know, faith is a solution to our problems and the things we face in our families, in our community, and in our nation. Faith causes us to live with an inheritance that's going to be in the future. Do you really believe it? Faith causes us to leave a legacy of the kingdom, passing it on to the next generation. Faith causes us to live the adventure instead of reading a book or watching a movie, but being a participator. And so the context of Hebrews chapter 11 is the rest of the book, but Hebrews chapter 12 just after that talks about this great cloud of witnesses that is watching us run this race, this faith race, encouraging us run it. Looking to see how we're going to run this race. And so, life's not simple. It's pretty complicated, actually. We have good times and good seasons and difficult seasons. And the good thing about faith is it's not how you start the race, but how you finish it. And so, I don't know what your story of faith is today. I'm not here to poke you in the eye and say you have or doing that, you need to do better. The chapter of faith and the history of faith is to encourage the people of God to live by faith, like Abraham, like all these people listed there. I'd encourage you to meditate and read that passage over the next week and just ask the Lord, you know, what do you want to say to me through this? How can I begin to take steps of faith? Display faith in my family, maybe, or in my community, or in the nation. And just give him our little bit, our loaves and our fishes, and see what he will do with it. So before I finish, I just, maybe just take a minute, and I'm just going to ask God to, or ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Then I'm going to pray for faith, like the disciples did. You know, when the disciples couldn't cast out a demon in the Gospels, and Jesus did, and he said, "Are you of little faith?" And they said, "How could you do this?" And he talked about a few things, but their response was, "Help me in my unbelief." You know, in other words, help us with our faith. And so I'm just going to have a few minutes where you be quiet and just ask, just let the Lord speak to us. Stories of faith, that we have been included in this family of faith. Jesus, I pray that you would help us to see our story in this story of faith in the people of God, that it is not so distant, not so far away, but we are writing a story now. I ask help us to have faith, to take the next step, to do the next thing, to offer you our little bit. And I ask, Jesus, that you would do amazing things with it. Jesus, that families and communities and nations, generations would be affected by our faith. Jesus, we love you and we want to follow you. We love you and we want to invite you to just be working in our lives and our families and our communities more. We want to see the kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, give us the courage, Jesus. Lord, Jesus, I pray that we wouldn't walk in condemnation, but just walk in offering you what we have in faith. Offering you the beauty of our love to you and that you would do amazing things with it. Jesus, I pray that you would whatever situation this community finds themselves in, the families here, the individuals here, Jesus, help them to be beacons of faith, displaying the glory of the kingdom. Jesus, I pray that generations would look back and say, man, it wasn't, they were just normal people, but how did God move through them in simple ways that were absolutely revolutionary? Jesus, I ask that you would help us to see ourselves in this story and encourage us to continue to live in faith, to serve you in faith, to see the miracles of the kingdom in faith. Give us courage to step out. Jesus, I pray you'd bless this church. Jesus, I pray that you would, your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as in heaven, in this church, in this place, in this community. Jesus, I just thank you that thank you that they pray for us. And I thank you, Lord. I just pray that we can see your kingdom come in Eastern Shore State. God, that we can be encouraged by what you're doing, Jesus, in this community in Calvary. Jesus, I pray that you would just make this evident in our lives, more evident in our lives, like the disciples prayed. Help us in our unbelief. Help us with our faith in you, to trust you, to believe you for things that are not.